certain Bible stories that don't need an introduction. And they are so well known that there are a lot of people that don't read the Bible or haven't read a Bible and don't go to church that actually know these stories. Let me just sort this out. I think we should start a bet going. Push bets and see what bet at the next thing that's going to go wrong, and then we see at the end we're right. Okay. Yeah. So there's these Bible stories that a lot of people know of that don't read the Bibles, they don't go to church, yet they know these stories. Stories like Adam and Eve, Noah and the Ark, Moses and the parting Red Sea, Joshua and the walls of Jericho coming down, David and Goliath, Daniel in the lion's den, Jesus feeding 5,000 people. It's these stories that people know that don't go to church, they don't read the Bible, but somehow they know these stories. And while we are listing these things, one that probably would be on there, one of these stories that people know that don't read the Bible, go to church, is the story about Abram and Isaac. So let's read the story from Genesis 22, verses 1 to 19. Actually, just to see what we have in the screen, you can see. Sometime later, God tested Abram. He said to him, "Abram, here I am," he replied. And then God said, "Take your son, your only son, the one whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you." Early the next morning, Abram got up and loaded his donkey, and he took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abram looked up and saw the place in the distance, and he said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." So Abram took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abram, "Father." "Yes, son," Abram replied. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" So Abram answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. So when they reached the place God had told him about, Abram built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out from heaven, "Abram, Abram." "So here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abram looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abram called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abram from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this, and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed, because you have obeyed me." Then Abram returned to his servants, and they set off together for Beersheba. And Abram stayed in Beersheba. I can just picture these servants when Abram and Isaac came back after all of this happening. They probably couldn't be bothered because they didn't know a thing of what went on the mountain. So, here is Abram. And for years, he couldn't have kids. And then finally, when he was 100 years old, he got a son. And he wasn't an accidental dad. It was this great blessing from God that came from a promise of God that said, you will have an offspring, even at your old age. And then God says, now, take this blessing from me that I gave you. Take this blessing that you received and give it up. And it actually isn't a feel-good story. At least for the most part, if we read the outcome, maybe then it's a yes. But for the most part, it doesn't sit well, the story, when we read it. And a lot of people are very critical of God because of this event. How could a loving God ever ask a father to kill his own son? And then they conclude that God isn't that loving. But you see, God's intention was never to have Isaac killed. He knew his own plan. He only ever asked of one father to really give up the life of his only child. And that was of himself. Nobody else. So that said, it actually isn't that easy to make sense of this event. But in his letter to the Hebrews, Paul helps us out a little bit to try and make sense of what went on there. So in Hebrews 11, in the part about the faith heroes of the Old Testament, Paul zooms in on this scene, and he shows us three aspects of Abram's great, amazing faith within the greatest trial that he could ever face. So just that little part from Hebrews 11, verses 17 to 19. By faith, Abram, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. Concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. So Paul helps us to see what's going on there. Abram had this great test. Abram had this great faith. And then he had this great result. He had this triumph. Let's start with the test of Abram. By faith, Abram, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice forward. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son. This promise that he waited for so long, he was about to sacrifice it. Now, in reading this story, we face several problems. The first and largest, probably, deals with the issue of God's character. How could a loving God ask Abram to sacrifice his only son? And we've spoken about that for a little bit. But there's also a second problem that is more or less related to this first problem. Because we all feel the problem of God asking Abram to sacrifice his son, we've got this unconscious tendency to read this narrative backwards. So we start, when we read this, we start with the fact that Abram ended up not having to put his son to death. And then we say, so you see, God never wanted Isaac to die in the first place. And this statement is perfectly true, but if we are continually doing this, we are missing like the meaning of the test. Our text, if we go down this road too far, we are missing how it played out. We are missing what actually happened for Abraham. So whatever else we may say, it is unquestionably true that God did ask Abraham to sacrifice his son. And Genesis 22, verses 1 to 2 tells us what was at stake. When he said to Abram, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to Moriah and sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on the mountain that I will tell you. Now, it would have been enough if God had simply said, take your son. But what God said, in what he said, he qualified that statement three ways. Take your only son. So, God's not forgetting about Ishmael, his illegitimate son, who was also his son, but he was meaning like your son that I promised to you for so long. So take him. Isaac. He called him by name, the son for whom you and Sarah had waited for 25 years. And then he says, whom you love. So your only son, Isaac, whom you love. So at this stage, it might seem like God is mocking Abram. But these words were actually meant to reassure him that God knew what he was asking of him. God didn't just tell him, hey, Abram, take your son. He said, Abram, take your only son, the son of the promise. Take him. Take Isaac, the one who you love. Take him. And in saying it this way, Abram would know that God understood what it would cost him to obey God. But even so, Abram trusted God, says Hebrews 11. So much so that when God told Abram to offer his own son, to sacrifice his own son, Abram was fully prepared to do it. So prepared, in fact, that Hebrews 11:17 actually says that Abram offered, past tense, Abram did offer, Abram did sacrifice Isaac. Meaning that when he laid his son on that altar and raised the knife, he fully intended to put him to death. So, for Paul, writing to the Hebrews, he said, you know what? Abram did do it. He did offer up Isaac. It's not just that he was prepared. He actually did offer him up. I remember from my children's Bible the picture of Abraham with a knife in the air, and there was a tear running down his face. I remember that picture from, I don't even think I started going to school yet. But I also have to say that I remember the story for God's provision. I remember the story for God's outcome. I never thought of Abraham when I was young as this cruel old man that didn't love his boy. Even though the picture in my children's Bible was Abram with a knife in his hand, ready to go down on Isaac, he had to tear down his cheek. And I remember the story from God's provision. Okay, so God made this promise to Abram that he's going to be the head of a great nation, and that through that nation, he would bring great blessing to the rest of the world. And God had said that he would bring forth that nation from Isaac's descendants. That was the promise to Abram before this. But we know at this stage it couldn't have happened yet, because Isaac was just a teenager, and this promise wouldn't be fulfilled if Isaac was dead. So here we are faced with what seems to be this enormous contradiction. God commanded him to offer Isaac, but God also promised to bring forth offspring, a generation, through Isaac. How does that work? That's a huge contradiction. The promise and the command seem to flatly contradict each other. If Abram obeys the command, does that not cancel the promise, since Isaac would be dead? If he disobeys the command, what happens to the promise? Because part of that promise was the deal, I will be your God and you will be my people. So if you are disobeying me, you are not keeping your part of the deal. So if Abram disobeyed God, what happens to the deal, to the promise? And here is the amazing character of Abraham's faith. He didn't know how God would do it. He just knew that God would do it somehow. And this is where we find the lesson for all of us. When God makes a promise, it's just foolish and it's unbelief to wonder how He will keep His word. Faith doesn't reckon with how. Faith believes, and faith leaves the how in the hands of God. So if we spend too much time trying to figure out the how God will take care of us, then we are likely to argue ourselves into a corner. So the how we should leave to God. And as we think about this story and on this journey to Moriah, it's not that God said, Abram, do this, and then Abram said, yes, Lord, and then right away. They had this 3-day journey to the mountain. 3 days that he was struggling with what God asked of him. But he kept on going, and he did this. And this is the type of faith that gets rewarded. Abram chose God over his son. And God says, that's what I want, Abram. I want to be your first choice. That is what I want. I want to be your first choice. And I can see that I am. And what did God do? He blessed Abram abundantly. Abram became the patriarch of God's people. Abraham became the patriarch of the whole of Israel. And on top of that, on top of having this huge offspring, he had this vast property that God blessed him with. He had all these livestock. So he was truly blessed for prioritizing God over everything else. And this is what God is expecting of a godly father. He expects of fathers that serve Him to love Him first and foremost. Now, there are a few questions regarding fatherhood that pops up in my mind when I think about this again, and about God expecting fathers to put Him first, even ahead of their children. I've got some questions that pops up into my mind, like how did Isaac feel about all of this? Because we are talking about fatherhood now, hey? So a dad and his kids. How did Isaac feel about this? About his dad being prepared to sacrifice him to God? Ever thought about that one? How did Isaac feel? Now, we never read in Scripture that Isaac ever rebelled against his father for this. And I mean, Isaac could have fought his father for this, for trying to sacrifice him. He could have fought his father. I mean, Abram was way over 100 years old at this stage. Isaac was born when Abram was 100. Now he's way past 100 years old. And Isaac was a teenager. So Isaac was strong. He was a strong young lad. And we know that he was a teenager because he knew what was needed for the sacrifice. He asked the question. He can travel for 4 days, that distance, the terminology used in the Hebrew text. We knew he was a teenager. So he was strong enough to fight his dad. It was just the two of them going to the top of the mountain. He could have fought his dad, but he didn't. A bit later in Genesis 26, we read about Isaac looking after his dad's legacy, reopening the wells that Abram dug. And then it was filled in, I can't even remember who it was. It was Baptized. But anyways, it was filled in. So Isaac was looking after his dad's legacy. He reopened these wells. His father's legacy was important to him. And this wouldn't have been the case if he had turned against his dad. if he was angry and hurt that Abram chose God over him. Isaac saw his father's priorities, and he was well fine with that. He was blessed because of that. He was blessed through that, because that blessing came down through him. God's blessing was resting on him. God's blessing was extended to him because of his dad's faithfulness to God. Isaac inherited everything from his father, even though he had more kids after Sarah died. Isaac inherited everything. Isaac was one of the patriarchs of Israel, the patriarchs of our faith. That blessing was extended to him because of his dad's priorities, because his dad, Abraham, put God first. That was his biggest priority. And the direct result to following God, to obeying God in this way, is that God's blessing will rest on you and your family. And Abraham had this call it a total blessing. He was blessed in all areas of his life. He was blessed with a long life. He was blessed with possessions. He was blessed with a son chasing after his dad's legacy. So this blessing included everything. Abram chose God to be first in his life. That was the type of dad he was. But you know, this message is by no means only for dads. This is the way God wants all of us to relate to him. This is the way God wants all of us to prioritize our lives, to put God first above all else. If you are a mom, still above your kids. Whoever you are, what gender you are, what time of life you are currently in, this is what God wants all of us to do, to put him first in everything we do. And the blessing will follow. If you truly put God first above all else, the blessing will follow. God says, trust me. Put me first. And then trust me for the rest. I will bless you. This is the way he's dealt with Abram. This is the way he dealt with a dad who put God first, even above his own child. And this is the type of dad that God is looking for. This is the type of dad that God honors. Those dads that honor him. Those who put him first. This is the type of person that God honors. Those who honor him. Those who put him first. Try this. Try this. And see if the blessing does flow from that. God's blessing, if it truly flows from that. Blessing in all areas of your life. Put God first above all else. And then take him on this. And see if he follows through on this. God wants to make the same deal, the same covenant with each one of us that he made with Abram, that he did make with Abram. I want to be your God, but I want you to be my people. I want to be your God, but I want you to reciprocate. I want you to put me first. And for that, this is the type of dad that God is looking for. Dads that honor him, and he will honor